Well, a very pleasant good morning to you, and I sure hope that you are having a wonderful day today, the day after Christmas. I hope that you had wonderful celebrations yesterday with friends and family, and that you were able to remember what the day was all about. We are so excited that you have joined us today to listen to another program of The Deed of Inheritance. We are sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And at Victory Christian Fellowship, we believe in inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. So we would like to extend some of that information to you from the Word of God of how we could inherit God's promises and receive their benefits. Of course, if you would like to visit us at any time, you may visit us tonight, Wednesday night. We will be having service tonight, 7 p.m. at our church location. And of course, you may visit us online at www.vcfpa.org, and you will be able to have directions. And you could also listen to our program online, of course, and all of Pastor Doug's sermons. So speaking of Pastor Doug, how are you doing today, Pastor Doug?
I'm doing wonderful.
I'm sure you're excited after a Christmas celebration that we've had.
Oh, yes. I just love Christmas, and we just had such a good time visiting with family.
Amen. Well, I know that you're going to be continuing your message this week from the one that you taught last week right before Christmas, and it's covering Christ.
Yeah, last week I began a message on who is Christ to give us a greater understanding of who he is and why we just celebrated his birthday.
Amen. So today, of course, you want to hear the rest of that message and to get the end of the story, so to speak. So just remember, our services are 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Well, let's pray before we get into the word today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are able to speak to our hearts as we receive from you today. Father, I pray that we will receive your revelation knowledge, your rhema word. Our hearts are open to hear from you. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's Pastor Doug.
Good morning, and it's good to be with you. And I want to encourage every listener to this program that if you had any questions about the Bible or about God, I would encourage you to call our church at 838-2033 or to log on to our website and email us at vcfpa.org. Any questions that you may have, and I will do my best to find an answer for you. We started this at our church. It's called Ask the Pastor, and I encourage our people to ask us a question, and I try to answer a question each week about the question that they asked, and it's going pretty well. So I want to extend that invitation to all of our listeners, and if you have a question, email us or call us with a question, and then we can get an answer to you. And we're continuing our message today about who is Christ. Last week, we discovered that Christ was not a name of Jesus. It wasn't Jesus' last name, but it was an official title of our Savior that shows him as a prophet, priest, and king. And it speaks of Jesus as being a king and a deliverer, and the Messiah who would usher in a kingdom of peace and prosperity. That word Christ is a designation of office. It speaks of the office that Jesus holds as the one to be our king. He is our king, our savior, our baptizer, and our healer. And all this, all these things are encompassed in this word Christ. And it says, it means that he is the anointed one or the Messiah. And it is in Christ that God unveils the truth of his purpose and shows us his love with unmistakable clarity. Every aspect of God's eternal plan is brought into focus in Christ. Christ is the central figure, the focus of history, the climax of the sacred drama, and the one through whom all things are at last explained. And we went to the story of Philip in Acts chapter 8, who he went down to Samaria, and the Bible says that he preached Christ. In other words, he told the Samaritans who Christ was and what he came to do. And we highlighted that Jesus, he came to preach good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He was sent to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives. He came to open the prisons of those who were bound. He came to declare a year of jubilee, or the year of the Lord's favor, and also a day of God's vengeance. He came to comfort all who mourn, to give a joy to those who mourn, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, to give us a garment of praise instead of a heavy, failing, and a burdened spirit. And he came to make us oaks of righteousness, which are the planting of the Lord. So when Philip preached Christ, he declared who Jesus was and what he did to the Samaritans. And as a confirmation of his message, there was healings. People were healed of sickness. Demons were cast out. And there was great joy in the city. And the message of Christ that was believed and received by those who heard it, their lives were forever changed. So there is great power that is released in the message of Christ. And then in Matthew chapter 16, Peter had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was something that God showed him, because Jesus said, who do the people say that I am? Then he turned around to his disciples and said, who do you say that I am? See, God is not concerned about the opinion of the majority. He's concerned about the opinion of the individual. So friend, let me ask you this question. Who is Jesus to you? You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So who is he to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he your redeemer? Is he your friend? Is he your steadfast, strong tower who is immovable and unshakable? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Christ to you? You know, we just finished celebrating Christmas, which cannot occur without Christ. You cannot have Christmas minus Christ. If you try to take away Christ from Christmas, Christmas will cease to exist. Because it's all about Christ, who he is, and what he did. And so we learned some things. We learned that the message of Christ is powerful to all those who believe. It's not a message that we should be ashamed of. It's not a message that causes shame. And the message of Christ is available to every creature. And, you know, over in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, maybe she was part of the group that heard Philip's message after Jesus had resurrected from the dead. But in John chapter 4, verses 22 through 26, Jesus was telling this woman, he said, "You do not know what you are worshiping. You worship what you do not comprehend." He said, "We do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. For salvation comes from the Jews." And then the woman said, you know, "A time will come, however," or Jesus was still talking. He said, "A time will come, however, indeed, is already here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people as these as his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now the woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, the Anointed One. And when he arrives, he will tell us everything we need to know and make it clear to us." Jesus said to her, I who now speak with you am he. So this Samaritan woman understood that a Messiah is coming, and he will be called the Christ. She understood that Christ was a title of the Messiah, but she didn't know who the Messiah was, and right in this moment, Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah that she was looking for. And there was another group of individuals who... It was the disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus, he had risen from the dead, and he was walking with them, but they did not know who he was because their eyes were not opened. And he was talking with them, and he said to them, in Luke chapter 24, verses 17 through 21, what is this discussion that you are exchanging between yourselves as you walk along? And they stood still, looking sad and downcast. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem, and not know the things that have occurred there in these days? And he said to them, What kind of things? They said to him, About Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in work and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers gave him up to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem and set Israel free. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things occurred. So they were hoping that Jesus was the Messiah who would redeem Israel and set Israel free, because that's what the Messiah would came to do. He would set things right. He would put things in right order. And that was one of the things that the Messiah was going to do. He was going to be the ruler of a restored kingdom and answer questions about God's plans and purposes, and Redeemer would be the very Son of God. But it goes on to tell us in verse 27 of Luke 24, he said, he opened their eyes, and then beginning with Moses and throughout all the prophets, he went on explaining and interpreting to them in all the scriptures the things concerning and referring to himself. In other words, he was revealing to these disciples that he was the Christ, that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And then after this, their eyes were opened, and they asked him to dwell with them for a few days. So Jesus is the Messiah. You know, and everyone can benefit from his message, the message of Christ. It's such a powerful message. Friend, if you don't know Christ, you can know him today. He can be your Savior. He can come into your heart right now. He's already forgiven you of your sins. He's already made an entrance for you to come before the Father. He's already made a way for you to fellowship and to be rid of the dominion of sin for the rest of your life. And when Jesus stood before the high priest, when he was being accused of blasphemy, and the high priest, in Mark chapter 14, verses 60 through 62, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, Have you not even one answer to make? What about this which these men are testifying against you? But he kept still and did not answer at all. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will all see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So there was another instance where Jesus revealed himself to be the Messiah, the Christ. So he revealed himself to the Samaritan woman who he met at the well. He revealed himself as the Messiah to the disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. And he revealed himself as the Messiah to the high priest who was accusing him of blasphemy. And also God revealed the truth about Jesus being the Messiah to Peter when Peter pondered the question who Jesus was or who is Christ. And God gave him the right answer. Now, what are the benefits of acknowledging Christ. See, when you acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, the benefits of heaven are open to you, and they're given to you so that you will experience God's goodness and his love and kindness on your behalf. So for every person and every business that tries to take Christ out of Christmas, you're going to miss out on a blessing that God has for those who will acknowledge him as Christ. And here are some of the benefits that you can have by acknowledging Jesus as the Christ. Number one, you can receive healing and deliverance. Just like Peter, or just like Philip, when he preached Christ, he brought deliverance and healing and joy to the entire city of Samaria. So people can receive the message of Christ, and along with that, they'll receive deliverance, healing, and joy. How many could use some healing, deliverance, and joy during this time? And another benefit that we have of acknowledging Jesus as Christ is there is only one Messiah. There isn't two Messiahs. There's only one Messiah, and his name is Jesus. Peter recognized Jesus as the Christ. He didn't say, "You are one of the Christs." But Peter, who got this message directly from God, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, the most famous quoted scripture of all time is probably John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So there wasn't another son that God could give. He gave his only one for us because he loved us, that when we believe in him, we would have everlasting life. So to believe Jesus is the Christ, you can receive eternal life. And then another benefit found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, the only way to be born again is to, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ. You've got to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And 1 John 5, 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born again, is a born again child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. By this we come to know and understand that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commands and are mindful of his precepts and teachings. But you cannot be born again unless you believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. And there is no other Messiah. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other belief system that will unlock the benefits of heaven to be given to you. There is no other way that you can receive your divine inheritance other than the way of Christ. Another benefit that we have from acknowledging Jesus as the Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. And Paul said, "We preach Christ, the Messiah, crucified. To the Jews is a scandal and an offensive stumbling block, and to the Gentiles it is absurd and utterly unphilosophical nonsense. But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." So to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, you receive the wisdom of God and the power of God. You know, being on his side, being on the side of Christ, acknowledging Jesus as the Christ is wise and powerful because Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So if you want God's power and if you want God's wisdom, then you need to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. And what that means is you accept who he is, you believe in what he's done, you repent of your sin, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And when you do that, a powerful thing takes place. You become a new creature. You become a child of God. and God's presence and spirit moves into your life, and he begins to order and direct your steps, and he wipes away the stain of sin. He has sets you free from that dominion. And another benefit of acknowledging Jesus as the Christ is, if all you know is Jesus Christ and him crucified, you know enough. That is the sum total of the gospel or the good news. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, Paul said, I resolve to know nothing among you. And to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that was all that Paul needed to know. Having that knowledge was enough to unlock the power of God in his life and in his ministry. Because he went on to say he doesn't want your faith to rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that's another benefit of knowing Jesus as the Christ. Another benefit of acknowledging Jesus as the Christ is that Christ is the only solid and firm foundation on which you can build your life. He is the only thing that will remain steadfast and firm through all of life's trials and tests. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, Paul writes, "For we are fellow workmen with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. According to the grace of God bestowed on me, like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah." So he is the only firm foundation. He's the only strong tower that will bring safety and security to your life. And you're not going to find security in anything else. Another benefit of acknowledging Jesus as Christ is that there is no other way to salvation other than Christ. Paul wrote in the book of Acts tells us, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, "Let it be known and understood by all of you, and by the whole house of Israel, that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, in him and by means of him, that this man is standing here before you well and sound in body. Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the head of the corner. And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved." So Jesus is the only way to be saved. So salvation is a benefit that we receive by acknowledging Jesus as the Christ. And then another benefit is true life only comes through Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives within you. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20, and says this. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So true life only comes through joining your life with Christ, through surrendering your way. And another benefit that we have from acknowledging Jesus as Christ is the only way to overcome the sinful nature is to crucify it through Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires." So the only way to overcome your sinful nature is through Christ. And I want to read one final scripture in closing this message today, out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. And these are the benefits, these are the sum total of benefits that come to us through knowing Jesus as Christ. And Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 23, "The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom, in Christ, we have our redemption through his blood. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Christ is the likeness, the exact likeness of the unseen God, or the visible representation of the invisible. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. It was in Christ that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through Christ, by his service and intervention. And he himself, Christ, existed before all things. And in Christ, all things consist. Christ is also the head of his body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place. It had pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in Christ permanently. And God purposed that through him, or through Christ, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, made peace by means of the blood of his cross. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him, and were hostile and were of a hostile attitude of mind in your wicked activities, yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in the Father's presence. Isn't that wonderful? All the things that Christ has done for us. Friend, I want you to know who Christ is. He is the reason why we celebrate his birthday every year. Christ has come to deliver us. He is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. And he will make things right that were not right before. And I just want to give you thanks and praise. Father, we just praise you and give you thanks for your mighty power in operating us. And I pray that each one who doesn't know Christ will hear this message, and they will ask you into their heart. They'll repent of their sin. They'll confess you as Lord, and you will change their life and make them a new creature. In Jesus' name, may God richly bless you.
Amen. Well, I sure hope that you enjoyed that sermon today. Of course, if you have just received Jesus as your personal Savior, we would like to celebrate this with you. So why not give us a telephone call, 717-838-2033, or log on to our website at www.vcfpa.org. And there are links there that will lead you directly to email us so that we could celebrate this wonderful